Good afternoon. My name is James. It is my privilege to serve this church as the pastor. It's my privilege to share with you the word today. It's going to get set up here. Thank you, worship team, for that wonderful time of worship. I'd also just like to also pray. So I encourage you just to close your eyes and bow your heads and join me once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are our Father, our Maker, our Creator. We just sang about so many names that you have. I thank you so much for your great love for us, that you loved us so much, even at our worst. You demonstrate your love for us, that Jesus, you died for us on the cross, and now you are our high priest in line with Melchizedek, interceding for us right now. You know where every one of my brothers and sisters are at this very moment. We're all at different times in our life, at different seasons in our life. And I just pray that you would meet us where we are at, and your word, your living word, would speak to our very hearts. Your word that is alive, your word that challenges, that pierces the soul, would speak to us. And that your name alone, Lord, would get the glory here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are halfway through, over halfway through a sermon series on Christian living. Every week we're asking ourselves this question: how should we live as Christians? What does it mean to be a Christian in the 21st century? How should we live? And so today we're going to find ourselves in Luke, the chapter 16, and the title is Being a Trustworthy Steward. We're going to talk about money today. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it up. I'm actually going to read the whole of the parable for us, not only verses 9 to 13. I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way through to verse 15 in the NIV translation. So once again, I ask you to open up your Bibles. We should also see it up there on the screen. And follow along. Luke 16. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. This is the word of the Lord. So, this is a little bit of an unusual parable and is a little bit hard to understand. So let me address a few things straight away. Usually in Jesus' parables, we can deduce that One of the characters is usually an authority figure of some kind, and there are usually one or two contrasting figures. But it is clear from our parable today that we are not meant to emulate the characters. We're not meant to emulate that dishonest manager. Now, it can be a little confusing, and we can be kind of scratching our heads a little bit, thinking, okay, the dishonest manager is commended. Does this mean, then, I can also act dishonestly with the money that I have? But here's the first thing to observe and notice. The dishonest manager is commended for this: his foresight in thinking ahead, thinking of the future and his future unemployment, and letting that shape his present day actions. And Jesus said, people of the world are good at doing that. How much more then, people of the light, should we have an eternal perspective and let that shape our present day actions? So that is the spiritual principle that Jesus is teaching his disciples that we will pick up today as we go through this parable. It is very important that we ask ourselves this question: how should we live as Christians with regard to handling money? Because we all have money. Some of us have a lot, some of us have a little, but we all have some amount. How do we live with regards to handling it? We all will face temptations in this world. We will all be exposed to false teaching in this world. How should we live as Christians with regard to it? So, three things from our text today that I'd like to pick up on and go through. These are the three points. Firstly, what are you investing in? Secondly, trustworthy with little things equals trustworthy with eternal treasures. And where do you really place your trust? So, first point, we're going to go through verses 9 to 13. What are you investing in? So the next point says, I'll just read again. I like to kind of read it again as well, verse 9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, before we talk about what it means to invest in worldly wealth, before we even get into the parable, we need to have a firm understanding of this truth. Everything belongs to God. God is the divine owner of everything. So it is not a case of how do I handle the money that I have earned that belongs to me. It is a case of how do I handle God's money that he has allowed me to earn that belongs to him. This foundational truth frees us up. It allows us to breathe and not be choked by the thorny deceitfulness of wealth. Because that is how wealth is actually often described in the parable of the sower. Everything on this earth belongs to the Lord. So let me give us a few verses which actually look at that. Deuteronomy 10:14, to the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Psalm 50 verse 10, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And 1 Chronicles 29:14b, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. This truth that everything belongs to God changes how we think about money. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about honoring God with our bodies. We talked about how the fact that our bodies are an inner sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, and that we have been bought at a price. The price was Jesus' life on the cross. Therefore, your body, my body, is not my own. My body is not my own. I cannot do with it what I want to do with it. I must discipline it and I must take care of it, for it is the Lord's. He has bought it. It is the same principle here. It is the same principle with the money that you own, that money in your bank account, that money in your wallet. It's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. The truth will set you free. You don't have to hold on to it so tight if you have an understanding. This is the Lord's money. I will be accountable to him for how I have dealt with it, but I don't need to hold on to it so tightly, worrying about it so much, because it is the Lord's and he will provide. Now, last week we also spoke about false teaching. We spoke about the importance of context. I hope you remember that. It is very important when we read the Bible to read the context and not be seduced by false teaching, which will cherry pick verses out of their context. So I talked a little bit about the prosperity gospel or the health and wealth gospel, which often leads people astray. So again, with this idea in mind, we can see how our verse can be taken out of context if we just look at the first part. The first part says this. Next slide. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. The end. You could see how that could be changed. I could even see how some kind of hipster bank manager, CEO type with like a bumper screen. Yet Jesus says I should use money to make friends. So, but this is not. We need to read the whole verse. And when we read the whole verse, we get to the pivotal point in the verse. And that's the middle part where it says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone. That does not mean, well, you're all going to end up bankrupt anyway, so you might as well do that. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is worldly wealth has no eternal value. It is inherently fleeting. You're only going to have it for a limited amount of time. So when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What I like is another translation of this verse. That's also a nice thing to do. If you're reading a Bible and you're not too sure about a verse, or you kind of have some more questions, check it out in a few other translations, or the original Greek, if it's the New Testament translation. The NLT says this. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. This makes it clear then, we will be welcomed into heaven, into eternal dwellings, by the people you are investing in here on earth. So practically speaking, what that would look like then is with the worldly wealth that we have, give generously to that friend who's in a difficult situation. Invest in your family, disciple them and bring them up. Give to a noble cause that spreads the gospels, because if those people die before you do, they will welcome you into heaven, into eternal dwellings. Like the dishonest manager, we also need to have this foresight and have an eternal perspective, not flittering it away quickly with no eternal vision. But unlike the dishonest manager, we are not to act unrighteously, but be generous with our money. What is the world's view on money? How does our society view money? Often, it's described as being like a hamster wheel. You go round and round and round, because you're always striving for more. You have some, you need more, you need more, you need more. The key buzzwords in our society when it comes to money are the words security, safety, insurance. By themselves, not necessarily wrong words. But we can be tied up in this and make this a whole gain that we begin to hoard our possessions. We begin to keep them up, because we're storing up treasures here on earth, not having that perspective. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 6, don't store up treasures here on earth. Store up treasures on heaven. So that car that you've just bought, if you've bought a car, don't hold on to it so tightly. That savings that you're saving so strictly of the year after year after year, and after 40 years of saving, you die of a heart attack. Don't hoard up putting all your investment in that money. It's not yours anyway, because you can't take any of it with you when you die. Nothing will go with you into heaven. This is what Paul says in Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, 7 to 10 says this. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the first question for us to consider, who are you investing in? Where exactly are you storing up your treasures? Are they with an eternal focus? Let's look at the second part. Trustworthy with little things equals trustworthy with eternal treasures. So again, I'm going to read our verse for us. Verses 10 to 12 say this: whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? The first thing to observe is that worldly wealth is considered to be little. Let me say that again, actually. Worldly wealth is considered to be little, the least of things. It is not that if you have a little bit of money, God's going to be like your stock investor and make sure you get a lot of money. You do it with a little bit of money, you're going to get a lot of money. He's going to make sure that you get that mansion at the end of the day. It's not that, although there is a spiritual principle here that is coming. But the first thing for us to observe, money is considered to be little, the least of things. It is not about how much money you have. It's simply about whether we faithfully, trustworthily, is that a word? Trustworthily? In a trustworthy manner, manage the amount that we have. Not about the amount. What do we do with it? Are we a steward of it? A steward is like a manager, somebody who directs and deals with it. If, for example, you are always impulsively, quickly, willingly spending it, as soon as you get the money, it's gone. Or you're secretly hoarding it up, idolizing it, because you have a secret desire to get rich. Or you're always in debt. You're always borrowing money from a friend. You are not being a trustworthy steward of the amount of money that God has given to you. Now, let me say one thing about debt. Let me one thing about going into debt or being overdrawn. There are occasions where we will need to borrow money. I think if you're buying a house, it is very difficult to have that amount of savings. You may need to get a mortgage. So there are occasions in life where we will need to borrow money. But we need to be careful not to borrow more money than we actually need. Short little story is that a while ago, I hope that I've changed in that, but I was very enthusiastic about giving our money away to people who need it, and I was not discerning enough. I was not wise enough, which meant that we would go overdrawn into our account. That is not being a trustworthy steward of your money. You need to handle it wisely. The Bible does warn us, don't go into debt. It warns us about this. Two verses which illustrate this point before we move on. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, Romans 3:8. And the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. The principle that Jesus is teaching us here, if you are trustworthy in this little thing, you can be trustworthy in true riches. And true riches are the spiritual riches of the gospel, the riches in the eternal life to come. That's what he's talking about. And we will be tested in this. We, all of us, are going to be tested in this matter. Can I be a trustworthy steward in this little thing? Now, Jesus, in another parable, which is a little easier for us to understand, repeats the same principle. In Matthew 25, the same principle applies, which means we should pay attention. What the Bible pays attention to, we should pay attention to. So if you remember the parable in Matthew 25, a master is going away on a long journey, and he brings his servants to him, and he says to them, okay, I'm going away on a long journey. He gives one of the servants 5 talents, and that is a monetary value. So a talent is a monetary value. So other translations say bag of gold. He gives one of them 5, one of them 2, and one of them 1. He then goes on a long journey. After a long time, he comes back. And he comes back and he brings the servants to him and he says, okay, how have you managed this money? How have you dealt with this money? Matthew 25, verse 20 to 21 says this. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The principle is the same. If we have been trustworthy with a few things, with a little thing, we can be trustworthy with many things in the life to come. Now, I think this principle can be applied in a spiritual dimension. And so I'd like to tell us a story of a man called Rhys Howells. Rhys Howells was a Welshman. He lived in the first half of the 20th century, and he was a great, great man of God. God used him mightily. He founded the Welsh Bible College, which sent out hundreds of missionaries. He was involved in revivals in Africa. He was a great intercessor. It's one of the few books which I've actually read twice. His biography is so convicting, so challenging. But when we find out about what God does in the early stages of his life, it is very enlightening for us. When Rhys was still a younger Christian growing up, God placed on his heart and gave him a task to pray for one guy. One guy in the Welsh village where he lived. He just said to Rhys, I want you to pray for this one guy and pray for his salvation. I want you to love this one guy. And this one guy was the village drunk. It was a guy who was always getting drunk, who had never slept in his own bed for many years, was often dirty, unkempt. One task, pray for this guy, love this guy. And so that's what Rhys did. Every Sunday, he befriended him. He loved him indeed, but it did not happen overnight. Month after month, Rhys poured his life into this one guy. God did not say to him, organize a massive spectacle for everybody to see. Do something spectacular. He just said, pray for one guy. Pray him through to salvation. And that's what he faithfully did. But it took 3 years. 3 years for this guy to finally be sitting in the church to the amazement of all the village, wearing respectable clothes, listening intently to the sermon. Victory. Victory was there after 3 years. But very interesting is the principle that Rhys Howells shares in his biography. He says this, in this way, I started at the bottom and loved just one. And if you love one, you can love many. And if many, you can love all. Very often, and this applies to me as well, very often we want to run ahead of God. We want to be trusted with a lot before we can be trusted with a little. The principle very often is that God will test us in the small things, in the things that nobody else is seeing. Not here on a Sunday where everybody can see us. How do I act at 9 o'clock on a Friday evening if I really, a difficult situation? How do I act in that situation where nobody can see me? I love a quote by a basketball coach called John Wooden. And he says this: the true test of a man's character and a woman's character is what he does when nobody is watching. What do you do when nobody is watching? Can you be faithful in the small things that God has given you to be faithful of? So let's look at our last part. Where do you really place your trust? Let's look at our verses again. Verse 13 says this: no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So we have seen being a trustworthy steward means not going into debt unnecessarily, not being impulsive with it, and not being seduced by the love of money. And this is an obstacle for many when it comes to being a trustworthy steward of money. Many people have been led astray by that. Now, last week I mentioned about the prosperity gospel, but Paul in this text shows us there is a link between false teaching and the desire to be rich from the very start of the church. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith. For the last 2,000 years, basically, people have had itchy ears to hear teaching, any kind of teaching, that will be about them getting rich. We can easily be seduced by this. Again, Jesus says in the parable of the sower, some of the seed is going to land on soil, but it's going to be choked up by the deceitfulness of wealth. It seduces us. So why is this such a seduction for so many people? Why have so many people been led astray with a desire for rich? The answer is basically, where do you place your trust, really? Are you really looking to the Lord to provide all of your needs? If you are not Christian, if you are not, you may get ensnared by the temptation to take control for yourself. And so whilst with one side you are saying, God, I trust in you, with the other side, you're hoarding up possessions just for a plan B. Just in case God lets you down, I need to take care of myself. Then what happens is we find our satisfaction in that worldly wealth and we start looking for it. We start taking pride in it. We start being greedy for more of it. We start coveting what other people have. Like Paul says, all kinds of evil flow from the seduction of the love of money. Be careful, Christian, of this. So how do we know, how do you and I know if we are secretly serving money, if secretly we are in love with money? I want to think practically, and I want to give us three questions. So here's a practical application for this week. Pray and carefully think about these questions this week. Question number one, how much time do I spend worrying or caring about my material possessions? Is this something that I spend a lot of time worrying or caring about, the things that I own? Number two, how hard is it for me to give money away? Is it like prying it out of your hands? How hard is it for you really to give it away? Do you secretly think it's mine, it's not the Lord's? And number three, am I constantly in debt? Take the time to ask yourself those questions. Think about them. And I also want to give us a Bible verse which will set us on the good, straight, narrow path and be an anchor for your soul, a word of wisdom to take with us as we think about this. It's my favorite proverb when it comes to money. Proverbs 30, verses 8b to 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. How should we live as Christians with regard to money? First thing, acknowledge it's not your own. Truly, in your heart of hearts, acknowledge it is all the Lord's. He is the divine owner of everything. Because, though, he is the divine owner, we are to be a trustworthy steward of it. We will be accountable. I will stand before the Lord and be accountable for what I have done with this little thing. So Jesus says, invest your money in friendships, in building up your family, in a noble cause, in spreading the gospel. Be generous. These friends will welcome you into heaven. God will provide for you. Let me point us to Jesus at the end. At the end, I wanted to point us to Jesus and show he is the model for us when it comes to being the trustworthy steward. If you remember this funny story, which I've always liked, how Peter comes to Jesus and asks about whether we should pay the temple tax. Jesus' reply to Peter is to go and get a coin from a fish. Jesus trusts that God will provide in this way. When Jesus was on the cross, he handed his spirit over to his Father. He laid down his life as a ransom for many. He trusted God. And then, at the very end, he trusted his disciples and said, go and spread the gospel. He trusted them with the spreading of the gospel. We are also to be trustworthy in this. Let's show that we are worthy of that responsibility by also being trustworthy in the little things. Let's take a moment of silence. Let's just take a moment to reflect and think about these things. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a second. And let's just reflect and just ask the Holy Spirit, what is my attitude with money? Do I worry and care so much about my possessions? Is it so hard for me to give it away? Let's just ask the Lord to speak into this at the moment. Just give us a moment for quiet reflection. Heavenly Father, you ask us to be trustworthy with little things, with the worldly wealth that you give to us, so that we can be trustworthy with true riches, with the eternal things. I pray for myself, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, that we will not hold on so tightly to it, but acknowledge that it is all yours, and that we will be wise, trustworthy, faithful stewards of the amount of money you do give to us, having that eternal perspective in mind. Help us to look up, Lord, and not be so focused on the earthly things. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.